أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
آج اللہ تعالیٰ کے فضل سے جماعت
By the grace of God Almighty, today the annual convention of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community in Britain will begin, inshallah. And the formal inauguration will be held this evening. May God Almighty enable all the attendees of the annual convention to meet those expectations which the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, expected from the members of the community attending the convention. And also, may he enable all the attendees to become the recipients of the prayers of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, which he made for all those attending this convention. All Ahmadis know this and should know. And the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, has also specially mentioned this, that the attending the Jalsa is not like attending any worldly affair. Therefore, every attendee in these days should make the focus of their attention towards progressing in their religious, academic, and spiritual knowledge. In fact, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, has expressed his displeasure at those who do not attend the Jalsa with this intention. A committee specially prepares the programs of the annual convention with this intention, and the speeches and their topics are also selected very carefully and with a lot of deliberation so that they can aid one's enhancement of religious, academic, and spiritual knowledge. A long list of the topics is prepared and then sent to the Khalifa of the time for approval. And from that list, a few topics are selected, which are then presented here by the speakers. And this is done to produce the best material for the advancement of the religious, academic, and spiritual knowledge of the members. Hence, the attendees should make it incumbent upon themselves that they will participate in the programs and listen quietly to these speeches from inside the marquee while they are being delivered. Sometimes from the men's side and usually from the women's side, complaints are received that instead of sitting inside the marquee and listening to the speeches, people sit in small groups outside the marquee and are occupied in idle talk. Some provide toys and gaming material to their children and let them play and make noise besides the wall of the marquee. In this way, children will not learn the sanctity of the religious gatherings. If children are so little that it is necessary to let them play with toys, then their parents should take them to the designated place for the children and let them play there, and toys are also available there. But it is not appropriate in any way for the parents, in both the ladies and the men's main marquee, to sit outside talking in small groups and allow their children to play and make noise around the main marquees. And when they are stopped from making noise by the workers on duty, then some take offense from it, that why have they been stopped? However, it is their own mistake and not the mistake of the workers. As I said earlier, that there is a committee which contemplates and suggests topics for the speeches and sends it to me. I then, according to the need of the time, select 7 or 8 topics out of them. Then these selected topics are sent to the speakers, and they spend many days, and some spend more than a month to prepare their speeches. These speakers put great effort in trying to prepare a comprehensive speech in such a short space of time that is allocated to them. Hence, everyone should be mindful of the fact that the speakers and the scholars spend a lot of time and prepare their speeches with great effort. Therefore, they should be given full attention and the contents of their speeches should be kept in mind. I perceive that if the listeners, men and women, are able to recall even 50% of these speeches, then it will increase their religious, academic, and spiritual knowledge manifold. On one occasion, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam stated that everyone should listen to the speeches attentively. He stated that one should listen carefully and with full attention, because this is a matter of faith. Frailty and lack of attention produces very bad results in this respect. Those who are indolent in matters of faith, and when addressed they don't pay attention, then to such people, no matter how good is the speaker, and how useful and effective the contents of the speech are, it would not benefit them at all. Regarding such people, it is said that they have ears, but they do not listen, and they have hearts, but they do not comprehend. So therefore, remember, whatever is said, listen to it with care and attention, because one who does not listen attentively does not benefit regardless of how long one spends in the company of a beneficent person. Another area of complaint, both in the men's side and the women's side, is from those who sit at the end of the marquee. If those complaints were true, then this time they should make sure that the duty worker in those areas should not have any complaint. They should listen to the proceedings of the Jalsa with utmost seriousness, and they should not listen just to take a temporary intellectual delight or appreciate a scholarly point. Rather, they should listen to it so that they have a permanent academic and spiritual benefit. Then, addressing those who have selected likeness for the speakers and just come to the main marquee to listen to that speaker. Regarding such people, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam states that I desire for my jamaat and also for myself and my soul that we should not be simply content with the apparent words and actions which are evident from the lectures. And also, our objective should not be limited at how fascinating is the speaker and how magical are his words. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states that my satisfaction does not rest at that. I do not say this pretentiously. In fact, it is the basis of my nature that whatever is done should be done for the sake of God Almighty. And whatever is said should be said for the sake of God Almighty. This is a grave reason for the decline and the recession in Muslims. Otherwise, they hold so many conferences, there are so many associations and organizations, and they hold so many meetings where very eloquent speakers and lecturers produce their lectures and make such speeches. And perhaps they lament and moan on the condition of the nation. However, why is it then that it does not affect the Muslims, and instead of progressing, the nation is going into decline day by day? The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states that this is because those attending these gatherings do not come with sincerity. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, has shown the face of those worldly people here, whose gatherings and lectures are only done ostentatiously, even if they are organized in the name of faith. They are simply done in order to promote their own name. In fact, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, also said at another place that their speakers, instead of thinking that their lecture should increase the spiritual and academic level of the attendees during the speech, they are thinking for appreciation of their knowledge only. During such speeches, the speakers had made the attendees their Lord, and such is the case of the attendees, that they are not sincere also. If they come with sincerity, they will definitely benefit, and it will also have a positive effect on them. However, neither our speakers come with that intention, and generally nor the attendees. And nor should it be like that, that they just take a temporary satisfaction instead of apprehending the meanings and making it a source of improving oneself. But if there are any people like this among us, then they should correct themselves. It is a great favor of Allah the Almighty that we have accepted the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam. However, we can only be truly thankful to Allah the Almighty and also fulfill His rights over us by doing everything solely and purely for Him and for His pleasure. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, has directed our attention towards these very small matters so that a weakness of a few may not become the thinking of the majority. And by observing those few, the new generations may not think that it is normal to not pay attention and talk during the jalsa. And when I speak regarding this, it is only as a reminder so that if there is any weakness, it should be removed so that our newcomers and our children and our young, as I mentioned before, should know the importance of the jalsa. If the Jalsa, i.e. the annual convention, does not have a positive impact on our academic and spiritual progress, and due to our human weaknesses, some of us do not benefit from the speeches, then this is a very worrisome situation. May Allah the Almighty bless the speech of the speakers, so that they are able to do justice to the topics assigned to them, and that they are able to positively influence the minds and hearts of the listeners with the mention of God and His Prophet, love and loyalty, forming a relationship with Allah the Almighty, the love for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and forming a strong relation and obedience to the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, who is the true and ardent devotee of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah the Almighty grant success to all the speakers. Thus, all those attending the Jalsa should make it incumbent upon themselves that they are to completely forget about the worldly matters, and they are to pay focus to increasing their religious and spiritual levels. May God Almighty enable everyone the opportunity to do so. I would also like to direct the attention of the guests that for their service there are workers assigned on both sides, from men and also from women. Or I should say that to serve the guests of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, those who have volunteered their service during the days of the annual convention, among these volunteers are the students of schools and colleges, and there is also a large number of people among them who have their own businesses, some are in services, and some are very high officials and hold senior positions. However, their passion to serve the guests of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam has placed a student, a laborer, a businessman, and a high official all on the same level. Therefore, those guests who treat the workers in a wrong manner should control their emotions, and they should respect the honor of the workers. Though the workers are always reminded that in all conditions they have to keep patience and endurance, but due to human weaknesses and under certain conditions, some workers reply harshly. And so it is incumbent upon the guests also to respect the workers, and they should not exhibit any kind of attitude or response due to which an unpleasant situation may arise. Moreover, those children and the youngsters who come to work with a passion, but sometimes due to the bad attitude of the guests, it can have an adverse effect on them. However, if the non-Ahmadi guests show any dissatisfaction, which usually they don't, but in any case, their actions are acceptable, and we should do our best to satisfy them and provide them comfort and alleviate any difficulty they may face. But the Ahmadis who attend the annual convention, though they are guests, but it should not be their objective to behave like guests. In fact, they come here to take the blessings of the Jalsa, and as I said before, that they should come with this thinking. Therefore, if they find any difficulty in their accommodation or food, in fact, majority of them do not even stay overnight here, and so if for some reason they experience any kind of difficulty while entering or exiting or while parking, they should accept it with an open heart and endure it with patience. As I mentioned in last week's Friday sermon, that in just a matter of days a whole city is erected and then has to be dismantled also, and all of this is done by the volunteers. Therefore, where there are temporary arrangements, there you may have to face some hardships also. And no matter how great the arrangements are, there will always be a few things which cannot be arranged at a temporary place as compared to a permanent place. I was informed that a lady attending the Jalsa last year said that air conditioners should be provided in the marquees, as it is very hot. We know this, and the administration also is aware of this, but to arrange air conditioning is very difficult. If there is such a situation that the weather is hot, then doors should be open to let the air pass through. People think that it is an easy task, but even to arrange fans is not easy. Some technical hardships and problems arise due to which even fans cannot be arranged. And then we also have to factor in the cost element also. In Rabwa, when the jalsas used to happen, and even now in Qadian, the jalsa is arranged in open air and in cold weather. And sometimes it rains also, and people keep sitting in the jalsa gar listening to the proceedings. Thus, if the attendees have to bear small hardships and have to face the hot weather, then they should do so. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, once said about such people who demand many different things, that if guests come thinking that they will find comfort here and will get served cold drinks or will find lavish meals, then it means that one only comes to acquire these things. While it is a duty of the host to provide the best hospitality and make it easy for the guests, and indeed they do exactly that, but if the guest thinks like this, then it will be a loss for him. Therefore, the guest should be thankful to God Almighty for whatever arrangements they receive. And they should be thankful to those workers who have worked day and night to arrange for them different departments and services in order to fulfill the rights of a guest. During these 3 days of the Jalsa, the guests should spend their time thinking that how they can please Allah the Almighty. And they should spend their time in seeking His mercy, His forgiveness, and His help, and seek His shelter from all the calamities and evils. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said that if someone, while arranging his dwelling, whether it be temporary or on a permanent basis, seeks this prayer, that I take total refuge in the words of God and seek God's shelter from all kinds of calamities. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said that from the time taking the shelter and until leaving, that is, if a temporary arrangement is made, nothing will harm such a person. Therefore, in view of the current circumstances of the world, we should specially recite this prayer. And during these days, no one knows when any vicious person can commit any kind of mischief, and also what kind of wicked plans are being hatched. Therefore, may God Almighty keep us in His protection from them. There are also various illnesses, and people have come with small children and come with great passion. And due to the sudden change of weather during these days can cause the children to fall ill. And parents who come with small children do not give a lot of attention to this. Children are very fragile and they may get sick. Hence, when all these prayers are made in order to be protected from tribulations and mischief, we must also pray to seek protection from all kinds of illness. And so we should always be requesting prayers. And we all know that to get prayers accepted, worship is incumbent, and to adhere to the words of Allah the Almighty. Therefore, during these days, one should try and fashion oneself according to this, and this should not just be limited to these days, but once we adopt this, then it should become a permanent habit of one's life. I spoke in regards to people with children. I have also been informed that last night the management fell short of bedding and mattresses, and as a result, some people who were with children experienced difficulty. Some of them wrapped their children in the blanket which they brought with them. Due to the immense passion, people also bring their small children with them. Some are 9 or 10 months old, and 1 and 2 year olds, and have arranged their accommodation here in the tents or the marquees. And if they are asked to move on to some other place, as there is no adequate arrangement or it is too cold, they say that they will bear the hardship, and so will their children. But we want to remain here so that we can derive maximum benefit from this environment of the Jalsa. Therefore, if there are such people who ask for ease and comfort, but on the other hand, by the grace of God Almighty, there is a vast majority of those who say that they have come to attend the Jalsa. Therefore, there is no harm if they have to bear a little difficulty. They are very strong themselves and also want to make their children strong. Such guests bring the mercy of God with them, and because of such guests, the work of those on duty is also made easy. As I said, that last night some people experienced some difficulty due to the shortage of bedding and mattresses, or whatever kind of difficulty the guests experienced. However, I hope that inshallah the administration will resolve this and the guests will not have to suffer today as they did last night. Those who come to the Jalsa, they should also be mindful towards the congregational prayers. When it is time for the prayer, they should come and sit quietly so that those who come late may not disturb others. If people are getting late due to the food service, then the department that serves food should liaise with the department of Jalsagah or the department which arranges the prayer timings in order to let them know that the guests are still eating and so to extend the start time of the prayer by 10 to 15 minutes. And they should also inform me so that we can wait for them. Despite my best efforts, but due to my busy schedule and engagements, I also arrive a few minutes later, and sometimes even longer, especially when I have outside guests and meetings are going on. However, I have observed that even then people keep coming in until very late, even when I have started the prayer. The guests and the department of tadbiyat should pay attention towards this, because when people come late and they walk on the wooden floor, it makes a lot of noise. And although a lot of effort has been made to reduce this noise, but even then it creates noise. If you have arrived early for the prayer, then sit inside and keep yourselves busy in the remembrance of Allah the Almighty, because this is also a reward. God Almighty rewards for very small things. Sitting in the mosque also has a reward. Therefore, time should not be wasted, and this is the best use of one's time during these 3 days. And instead of standing outside and talking, and coming in once I have entered and started the prayer, it is better to sit inside, because as I have mentioned, that by walking on the wooden floor, it creates noise, and this disturbs those who are occupied in prayer. Similarly, during the prayer times and also during the proceedings of the Jalsa, you should switch your phones off or turn them to silent. If your phone is being used for emergency use or you are waiting for an emergency call, then you should at least turn its ringtone off. This year, the administration has improved the mobile phone service here, and they claim that the phone signals will be available here as they are available in the city. So due to that, many people have purchased their SIMs. But it should not be the case that due to the enhancement of the mobile phone service, the phones are ringing everywhere and they should not disturb the proceedings of the Jalsa. In the same way, those who are coming on cars, they should fully cooperate with the transportation department so that it does not cause any kind of problem in the arrangements. This time, the administration has tried to make better arrangement for the parking. But systems can only function better when people cooperate. Hence, the success of any kind of system depends on the cooperation of the guests attending the annual convention. You should also cooperate with the scanning department, as it is all done for your ease and for the security of those attending. It is the beauty of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community that all the Ahmadis, whether they are on duty or are attending the Jalsa, they are all part of the administration, i.e. the Nizam. Therefore, especially in parking, scanning, the food marquee and the Jalsaga, in all these areas one should be vigilant at all times. If you see anything suspicious or someone acting suspiciously, you should immediately inform the administration and be vigilant also. But in any case, there should be no panic. Those who are in private tents or in the marquees, they should keep their money and valuable items with themselves. Especially the women should remember that if they have any ornaments or jewelry, they should keep wearing it. Firstly, on Jalsa, such expensive jewelry and ornaments should not be brought. They come to spend time in religious environment and not for worldly affairs. Therefore, those who have already brought it with them, they should take care of it. And those who come on a daily basis from home, they should also be mindful of the fact that instead of showing their ornaments and clothes, they should pay attention to the Jalsa proceedings. There are some departments who have arranged exhibitions during the days of the Jalsa. The Department of History and Archive has arranged exhibition, and similarly, the Review of Religions is exhibiting old copies of the Holy Quran and also the Shroud of Turin. They organized one last year as well, and this year they may have done one even better. Both of these exhibitions are very educational, and there is a separate time allocated for men and women, and all must visit and benefit from these exhibitions. I will once again remind everyone to pay particular focus on prayers during these days. And apart from the prayers and the voluntary prayers, you should occupy yourselves in the remembrance of God in Durood Sharif and other prayers. May Allah the Almighty bless this Jalsa in every respect, and may He accept all of our prayers and save us from all evils.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.